Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Daniel Foster, news editor at National Review Online, in for Jim Garrity once again today. And Daniel, Bill Clinton was never thought of the gift that keeps on giving to Republicans back in the 90s. In fact, he was pretty much a frustration in a lot of different ways. Now that we know he continues to harbor some ill will towards the current president, we start to see some of the value here in Bill Clinton. It was just a few days ago where he said Mitt Romney had a sterling business record. Then he said that he thought it'd be a great idea if all the Bush tax cuts got extended beyond the end of this year. He was actually rebuked for that one, saying, well, that's not the message from the Obama campaign. So, you know, he went on CNN and said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that was the message. And so then he's still talking to Wolf Blitzer. And just as soon as he tries to pull himself out of one mess with the president, he gets right back in with another one.
And those rates, the problem with that is, and why I think they should be extended for the bottom 98%, is that median income after inflation is lower than it was the day I left office.
Translation, this economy stinks. Now, of course, he and Obama will probably blame most of it on Bush if given the chance to elaborate, but it once again reminds the American people of the fact that this economy is not good while this guy is president.
The spin from unnamed senior sources is particularly brutal. It's, you know, Bill Clinton's old and he's off his political game and he doesn't know what he's talking about half the time, and he shuffles around and we find him wandering around the neighborhood at 2 a.m. you know, sometimes he forgets his wife's name. It's pretty brutal stuff, but I think he knows exactly what he's talking about. And especially when you listen to the apology right before he went and made another gaffe, another purposeful gaffe. if you listen to the apology, it's very reminiscent of what the definition of is, because he says something to the effect of, just because I like Mitt Romney personally doesn't mean that I want him to be elected president, nor does it mean that I don't want President Obama to be reelected. And then he just leaves it at that. He points out the logical fact that his personal liking for Romney doesn't indicate which way he wants the election to go, and then he doesn't elaborate which way he wants the election to go. It's the perfect lawyerly Clintonian answer. And I think that in this case, the Occam's razor is that, you know, stuff we've been hearing for 3 years now, 4 years, about Bill not holding Barack in the highest esteem is probably what's at play here. I don't think there's anything more complex than that going on. And you're right, we've, on the subject of Bill Clinton, I mean, not only have we spent the last 4 years saying, boy, we actually kind of miss this guy now that we're dealing with Obama, but now he's actually helping us out. So his rehabilitation might be complete.
He's finally useful. It only took, 20 years before that finally happened.
Yeah.
On to martini number two now, and while Bill Clinton seems to fully understand that our economy is not doing very well right now, well, unfortunately, the current occupant of the White House doesn't seem to see that at all. He held a press conference today to blame Republicans in Congress for not advancing his supposed jobs agenda, no mention whatsoever of the nearly 30 bills the House Republicans have passed to spur job creation that he and Senate Democrats have completely ignored. So during the Q&A session, one of the reporters asked him, you know, what do you think about Republicans essentially saying that the problems in Europe are largely a reflection of mistakes with your policy?
The private sector is doing fine. Where we're seeing weaknesses in our economy have to do with state and local government, oftentimes cuts initiated by, governors or mayors who are not getting the kind of help that they have in the past from the federal government.
Just before that clip, the president was saying we've created 4.3 million jobs since he took office, 800,000 this year alone. Of course, the number of people who have quit looking for work is actually higher than that, I believe, or at least right around there. He's still negative on the job creation front since he took office. And so, Dan, once again, telling people there's nothing to see here, and our biggest problem is that we're not spending enough and shipping it off to other locations. I hope that's not going to fly.
Yeah, it's particularly tone deaf. In a week that he didn't get to talk about it because he left the podium rather quickly, but in a week that Scott Walker, you know, triumphantly defeated the recall effort, it's weird to hear the president say, we're not spending enough money on the public sector. you know, that's the problem. It's particularly tone deaf. You know, what I love about this is the instant reaction is to him saying the private sector is doing just fine. and that being an instance of him putting his foot in his mouth, and it absolutely is. But what I like about this is you've seen Obama really go into campaign mode, pretty cynically so, over the last few months, and they're willing to take anything that Mitt Romney or any of his surrogates say quickly out of context. This is the sort of thing that if the president had said a year ago, it might have been a big deal for an afternoon in the blogosphere. But that soundbite coming out of the press conference is all anyone's going to be talking about from that press conference. So we're in campaign mode now, and this is something you can actually count on the mainstream media to make a big deal out of. So I think we're going to see that quote played out maybe in some ads and other contexts heading forward.
No, probably so. The president's going to try and divide and distract as much as possible, but eventually people are going to vote their pocketbooks to a large extent in this election, and you can only paper over the facts so much. I mean, the facts are what they are, and they're pretty obvious to most people. They saw it in 2010. They're seeing it now, and that's why a lot of people are taking a very long look at Mitt Romney, even if their first impressions of him weren't that strong necessarily. The way that folks in the Republican Party have consolidated around him and independents have moved towards him compared to where the polls were showing just a few weeks before, pretty impressive. And while Mitt's done a good job of staying on message, I think a lot of that's got to do with people definitely investigating an alternative, and hopefully they like what they see in that alternative. But on to martini number three now. And Dan, you were just talking back in the first martini about Bill Clinton and referring back to his great the definition of is back in the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal. Well, if you thought that was a good sleight of hand, Eric Holder on Thursday before the House Judiciary Committee doing his best Clinton impression, and since he was a Clinton appointee, I guess he's perhaps learned from his former boss. The issue, of course, at hand was fast and furious, and the committee has documents now, emails from the Justice Department from before the time that Holder admits knowing anything about this operation, specifically referring to Fast and Furious in emails and how they will handle it once it goes public. And here's the exchange between Holder and Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz.
I think we went through this exercise before. That refers to wide receiver, not Fast and Furious.
That's not what the February 4th letter that was sent to the United States Congress said. It said that the ETF never uses those tactics. And never.
We said
that is, and that's not true.
And we said that that letter was inaccurate. It was ultimately withdrawn. But the email that you just read, and this is important, that email referred to wide receiver. It did not refer to Fast and Furious. That has to be noted for the record.
It's no, it doesn't. It says Fast and Furious.
The Fast and Furious reference does not refer to Fast and Furious. Dan, these are not the droids you're looking for.
It's pretty amazing. And Eric Holder, I mean, part of me, a very small part, feels badly for him because he has to, it seems like he's in Congress every day. I mean, they keep him in that chair. You know, they got a chair marked out for him in the committee hearing room. After all that time, he's kind of turned not answering questions into an art in the mold, as you suggested, of Bill Clinton. But this is serious business. And I think, I really think that if the political context were a little bit different, if the media were a little bit more interested, then this would be certainly if the president were George W. Bush and this happened under him.
Oh, yeah.
This would be a major, major scandal. And I do think it's a little surprising that not only is Eric Holder still attorney general, but people aren't really seriously pressuring him to resign. It's kind of just an amazing feature of how the mainstream media kind of chooses what things to focus on, and their lack of focus on Fast and Furious beyond a few days when the story first broke, I think is what allows Holder to still be in office, but it's also what keeps the Republicans dragging him down to Congress to grill him one more time and, you know, see if he can find a new way not to answer the question.
Yeah, it's high political theater, no doubt. We'll see if a contempt citation comes. The sad part is that a loyal Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry, lost his life, and all this administration can do is try to cover its own hide, and they're not doing a very good job of that. So we'll find out. I'm sure Eric Holder will try to distract us by claiming that voter ID laws in some other state are a violation of civil rights or something like that to get our minds off of this with some other outrage. So, Dan, as always, great to talk with you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Daniel Foster is news editor at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus for Radio America. Please join Jim Garrity and I on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.